Today's Old Testament scripture is found in the book of Leviticus. It is arguably one of the least read and maybe least favorite books of the Bible. The passage today is found as a part of the Holiness Code, which gives lots of guidance for holy living, somewhere to the tune of 613 laws. Yet, one of the most significant New Testament teachings of Christ is found in this particular text. And so listen to the word of the Lord from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 13 through 18. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. And you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Our second scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. This comes near the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which the way that the Gospel of Matthew, the writer of Matthew, positions it is sort of Jesus' debut, his launching into his life in ministry. And throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus really hits the high notes of the message that he is trying to bring to the people and the change that he is hoping to facilitate. And so listen now in light of that to God's word for us this morning. Again, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12. Listen for God's word. Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give them a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. This, along with our reading from Leviticus, is for us this morning the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty, gracious, grace-filled God, may these words be to us a light and a lamp, to show us the way to you and to prepare us for greater discipleship in your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we wrap up the sermon series, the journey that we've been on for this summer based on the book, The Year of Living Biblically by A.J. Jacobs. A quick reminder, it's been a few weeks since I've been here, so you may have forgotten, but A.J. Jacobs is an author who for a year decided to follow the Bible as literally as possible. In order to do that, of course, what A.J. had to do was do a fair amount of study and prep beforehand. Prior to its beginning, A.J. did some fairly extensive biblical research on the various laws and customs we found in the Bible, and then throughout the year chose a particular element for any given point in time to focus on, right? To kind of try it on like a new shirt and see how it feels. So for one period of time, he focuses on praying. Another time he tries shepherding. And another time, as we saw a few weeks back, he is taking small pebbles over to Central Park. He is from New York, and he's trying to find people to stone. You remember that was kind of a funny occasion. All of which is wonderful for writing a book, but let's be honest, it is quite different from the way our living biblically journey unfolds, is it not? Real life rarely follows a script. We can't plan things out that way, although some of us, self-included, try. Most of the time, life, it just happens. And when it does, living biblically is not as much about us dictating the terms of how we follow God faithfully as it is us responding faithfully when life throws us a curveball. Today's story that I'm going to share with you is one of those stories. And I want to warn you, it's a little bit of a sad story. It involves a neighbor of AJ's in his small Manhattan apartment building. We don't know a lot about this lady because AJ didn't either. We kind of meet her throughout the book in bits and pieces as AJ reveals her to us. We know, for instance, that her name is Nancy. We know that she's an older lady. She lives by herself with no known family. We know that she is an artist with a fairly strong hippie streak running through her. And we know that her claim to fame was a friendship with the late Jimi Hendrix and a drawing that she made of him that wound up becoming one of his album covers. Interesting little story. And so the story I'm going to read to you now is a story about AJ and Nancy and how living biblically sometimes just happens. Listen. Day 272 of my living faithfully journey. A few days ago, right before Labor Day weekend, the hallway outside our apartment began to smell. Julie called the building staff. They checked it out and found nothing. Over Labor Day, our neighbors all left Manhattan. The building was empty except for myself, my wife Julie, and our kid. And that smell, which got worse. On Tuesday morning, I woke up to banging in the hallway. The building handyman Victor was outside apartment 5I, the one owned by our sweet hippie neighbor Nancy. He was trying to pry the door open with a hammer. Four medics lingered nearby, occasionally clicking their walkie-talkies and speaking in low voices. I knew before one of the medics asked me the question, "Have you seen your neighbor in the last few days?" It took Victor a half hour of pounding before he broke down the door. He went in and came out a few minutes later. "Alive?" I asked. He shook his head. I told Julie when she woke up. She sat down on the couch and put her face in her hands and did not talk for 2 full minutes. Finally, she looked up, her eyes red. "I saw her a week ago, and all she was worried about was me and how I was holding up." "What did she die of?" "They don't know yet," I said. Whenever something has happened on this year of living biblically, I have always tried to think of a biblical precedent, a story that will help me put it into perspective. But with Nancy's death, there is really none. The Bible doesn't talk much about living and dying in solitude. In biblical times, the smallest unit of society was not the individual, it was the family. But Nancy had no family, no husband or children. Just a handful of friends, few of whom she saw often. That night, as Julie and I lay in bed, I said, maybe we could say a prayer. Julie looks at me like I just told her I'd signed on for a second year of living biblically. "You serious?" "A prayer of thanksgiving," I say. "I find them helpful. We don't have to call it a prayer. We just give thanks." Julie pauses. "Okay." I say, maybe we start out simply. Julie says, I'm thankful for our health and our kids. I say, I'm thankful that we got to know Nancy. Julie says, I'm thankful that you are ending your living biblically journey soon. The memorial service is held a couple of days later. It's in the apartment of a woman who knew Nancy a little bit. Around 10 people show up. Her high school friend Dan reads letters that she had written over the years, painfully honest letters about her loneliness. We pass around the album cover she designed for Jimi Hendrix. Several people say something along the lines of, she had a troubled life, but at least she found some peace at the end with her dog, Memphis. Now, there's more to come with this story, but I want to stop here for a minute. I want to stop here because oftentimes when life happens outside our agendas and our schedules and our plans, it is not always easy looking at it through the lens of faith that is so important to us. Sometimes there are not easy answers. Sometimes the way forward is not obvious. And yet, these are precisely the moments when our faith and the faith of those around us really matters. Because that is when we come to see that God is not outside the confusion and the struggle and the uncertainty and the challenge, but God is right in the thick of it. AJ had a hard time dealing with Nancy's death. But it was more than just her dying, don't you think? I mean, this is Manhattan, for heaven's sake. 1.6 million people. Folks are dying there all the time. Now, I wonder if the crux of his struggle, personally and spiritually, was the fact that this woman had been his neighbor, literally lived right down the hall from him, and yet was someone that he only knew peripherally. And someone he felt he should have known better. And why was that, do you think? Was it just the proximity? Was it that she was kind to him and his family whenever they ran into each other? Or was it because of the stories of her life were so intriguing? Let's let AJ tell us himself, shall we? If you try to literally follow Leviticus 19:18, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you try to follow it literally, well, you can't. That would mean putting your neighbor's dreams, career, children, pets, and finances on par with your own. This is why it's usually reinterpreted in the less extreme but infinitely wise version known as the Golden Rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When Nancy was alive, I didn't do so well with the Golden Rule. Here she was, my literal neighbor, two doors down, and I had made a half-hearted effort. I never invited her to dinner. I never helped her get her Jimi Hendrix book published. I never bought her a gift to repay her for the one she bought my son, Jasper. I did, however, get a chance to partially redeem myself. A few days after her death, three men in white hazmat suits came to clear out Nancy's apartment. They had stuffed everything, her clothes, her frying pans, her papers, into these big black plastic garbage bags, about a dozen of which lined the hall. I tied a red bandana to my face, I put on some yellow dishwashing gloves, and I stepped past them into the apartment. Just looking for something real quick, I said before they could ask for identification. I wove my way through the mess on the floor, and there, on the table in the corner, I found a stack of papers. I flipped through them. It was a very rough draft of her memoir. I took it. Thanks, I said, and I walked out. When I got back to my apartment, I sat on my couch, and I read the handwritten pages. It is a tough but lovely memoir. I don't know if it will ever get published. I hope so. But just in case it doesn't, here is a sentence on page 41 that stopped me short. It is about her sketch of Jimi Hendrix, the one that became the cover to one of his albums. This is what Nancy wrote. Eventually, Nancy said, I sold the original to the Hard Rock Cafe, not only because I needed a little money, but because I was afraid that if I were to die, it would be put on the street, like all stuff is put on the street when people die, in a black plastic garbage bag. But now that drawing was safe, and it would live on beyond me. I love what AJ did going in there and salvaging just a piece of his neighbor before it got stuffed away in a black plastic garbage bag. And I love even more the fact that there was no commandment that was telling him to do this. Because sometimes commandments and laws are not what come first. Some things are etched into our hearts long before they are etched in stone or written in Leviticus or shared in a gospel story. And maybe that is why AJ took it upon himself to carry on a piece of Nancy's life when she was no longer able to carry it herself. Because built into our DNA as creations of the living God is an innate longing to honor and to cherish and to treasure life. And not just our own, but the lives of all of those around us. I know that I have shared this story with you before, but it bears repeating, especially with the sermon today, and especially in the day and time that we find ourselves in. Back when I was in 11th grade, just a few years ago, I had an English teacher named Mrs. Norton. A little rough around the edges, if I'm truthfully honest. She was not my favorite. But one day in class, we were talking about some novel we had been reading, and we were discussing the interplay of the characters between each other. And in the midst of that conversation, Mrs. Norton dropped in our laps a wonderful little gem that has profoundly affected the way I've tried to live my life ever since. This is what she said. Every person that you come into contact with in your life, no matter for how long or how short, every person becomes a part of who you are. Every person. How deeply profound, spiritual, and biblical that is. Because what it means, it is not just my wife and my two boys, or my mom or dad or my brother who are part of me. It's not just all of you who I love dearly who are part of me. It also means that guy in the grocery line behind me the other day who shared his discount card when I'd forgotten mine, he's part of me. That woman in the auto shop who tells me how much I owe her when I take my car in to be serviced, she's part of me. That wonderful group of Native American youth that I met and prayed with before their traditional dance at Triennium last week, youth I will probably never see again in my life, they are part of me, now and forever. So the law says you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says do unto others as you would have them do to you. But what does that really, really mean? Brass tacks kind of stuff? Is it like my brother explained when he and I were kids and in an escalating argument, he punches me in the shoulder. And when I ask him why in the world he punched me, he said, well, the Bible says that you should do unto others as they would do to you. And I just wanted to beat you to it. Which is a true story. That's not it. Here's what I think it all means. What I think AJ was getting at. I think you and I, we are meant to treasure each other. Treasure each other. And not just the people that we already know and love, although it can be easy for us to take them for granted as well. Now, I'm also talking about the others, the people we know peripherally, but those who are still part of us, the Nancys of our lives, to see them as a gift of God that they are, and to celebrate their life, not just when they're gone, but while they are still with us. I mean, can you imagine, people of God, how different things would be if we truly put that into practice? If we, members of the faith community and the body of Christ, treasured everyone as creations of God. It is, I believe, needed now more than ever. Now, when voices are aiming to push us further and further apart, now when heated rhetoric seeks to divide rather than unite, now when the principalities and powers of this world are placing us on a dangerous trajectory, one we've been on in human history before, one that never ends well. Now more than ever, the world is looking to us as the church to speak our voices into the conversation with these powerful, life-giving directives. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do to others as they would do to you. And don't ever forget that everyone is part of us. It begins with us, my friends. So here is my challenge to you this morning. Before you go to bed tonight, before the sun sets on this very day, let someone you know how much you treasure them, how much you love them, the ones close to you and the ones on the periphery. Do that. And then when you wake up tomorrow morning, do the same thing again. And the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, and every day that you have left. Because with each day, my treasured ones, I realize how spot on my rough around the edges English teacher was. Everyone really is a part of us. A life to be treasured, a gift from God to be celebrated, a neighbor to be loved. In the name of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, thanks be to God. And may all of God's people say, Amen.